Hi everyone, this is Klaatu, and this is Hacker Public Radio. I'm recording this not in my traditional environment, so if you hear servers in the background or anything humming, that is because I'm in my office right now, having been made homeless for a good week while I'm transitioning from one apartment to another. So I apologize for sound quality if it is suffering. And since Dave Yates in his latest episode decided to start a new segment called What Is In My Bag, an exciting new segment, I'm going to get that out of the way right now. What is in my bag is all my personal belongings. Clothes, computers, that's all I own. So there you go. Okay, so this episode is going to be about setting up Pine, or Alpine, to work with IMAP specifically, although a lot of this will apply if you're just doing it with a regular POP account as well. So first of all, the obligatory, what is Pine? Well, Webster's Dictionary defines Pine as an email client. It's a text or a command line based email client. And it was developed, I think, by the University of Washington. You can get all this information on the interweb. Just, you know, Google Pine email client, you'll get all the history about it. It's fairly well time-honored, and you know, a lot of people used it back in the days when they were on, like, whatever version of the internet existed on the campuses at universities and stuff like that. And this will help you understand the way that Pine works, so it's kind of good to imagine. You know, a university having whatever kind of network they had, you know, you would get your user account name and you could sign in and you could go into Pine. And, you know, it's the traditional multi-user system, right? So fairly recently, we'll come back to that. Fairly recently, Pine was discontinued. It's been around for a while, you know, and they kind of stopped development on it. You can still use it, but you could also opt to use the current developed program called Alpine, A-L-P-I-N-E, and I don't know if these are acronyms or anything, or if they're just catchy names, but Alpine is the latest version of this kind of setup, and in fact, if you have both on your system and you launch them both, you will not be able to tell them apart, really. I mean, they're exactly the same in look and feel. It's just Alpine has some cool features, like tabbed completion. So if you've got, like, a couple of addresses in your address book, you go to enter the name, you hit tab, and it completes it for you. It's quite nice. So I'm going to probably end up saying Pine and Alpine. Just assume I'm talking about the same thing, and basically you can assume that I'm talking about either Pine or Alpine. I'm not going to give you the URLs for either of these, because typically what you'll be able to do if you're running Linux is just install it from your repo. If your repo doesn't have it, Google for Pine or Alpine email client, and you will find the link to it. They're both on university websites, and they're both very easy to download, and as a matter of fact, they're both really easy to compile. Alpine, I was able to compile on basically every system I had. Slackware, Mandriva, I didn't try it on Fedora, and OS X. So they were really easy compiles. I think for OS X you have to set a couple of flags, like enable OS X binaries or something like that. It's on their website. It's just like one little thing that you have to pass while you're compiling, or two little options. But it's really easy and it works really well. Okay, and now I know I can hear it already. You're saying, well, why do I want to use Alpine, Klaatu? Answer is you probably don't. You probably want your little, you know, your Thunderbirds and your Evolutions and your other email clients that have all the fancy colors and the drag and dropping and stuff like that. However, there are three reasons you actually might want to use Alpine. Number one is if you actually do find yourself in a terminal or in a console a lot during the day, it's just a bother to go back out to the GUI. Like, however you escape the console, sometimes it's just too much, you know, you're just always flipping over to the GUI, and that just kind of gets bothersome after a while. So you might want to do it for that reason. Number two, you might want to use it simply to become familiar with a terminal-based email client. It's kind of a cool skill to have, so it's kind of fun to teach yourself that. I mean, there's not a whole lot to learn at this point about the GUI email clients, right? You've got that down, probably. So it is kind of fun to learn something new. And the third one is because, the whole myth of it being faster, the terminal, it's just all text, it's so fast, oh, it's so great. So you can do it for that reason, too, if you're finding that the GUI-based application is just horribly slow. Not that I've actually had any problem with GUI-based email clients being slow lately, but in theory, it could happen. Could be a problem for you. So we've installed it, we've decided we want to use it, great, let's launch it. So obviously you go out to a console or terminal, type in Pine or Alpine. What I did was I just made an alias in my Bash profile and made an alias so that if I do type in Pine, which I was used to, then it would just launch Alpine anyway. So if you need to find out where Alpine is, you can type in which Alpine, W-H-I-C-H space Alpine. That will tell you /user/bin/Alpine, whatever. So once you're there, you'll see a main menu. This is the main menu you're going to see a lot because it's the first screen you see anytime you launch Alpine. And it's got a couple of different options, the first of which we will be going into is Setup. So you hit S as in Setup, and then you hit C as in Config. This is a ridiculously long config file. This thing, it's menu-based, it's very easy to navigate, but it's just really, really long. It has every option you could possibly want. Now that is bonus reason number 4 that you might want to use Pine, or Alpine. You might want to look at this program, because if you at all have the occasion, or the need, or the desire to modify a lot of the headers that go out on an email, I think you might find it fairly difficult to do that on a lot of the GUI apps. But on Pine, you've got a lot of control over what exactly is displayed in the header files of the email. Now, obviously, that's not going to, it's not going to include things like originating IP address and what IP addresses it goes through along the path. But if you need to modify a lot of the little minute details that some people will, look in the header files for, Pine gives you access to all that kind of stuff. So the first field there is personal name. That's the field that is going to be visible in a person's inbox. Like when it says from Klaatu, or, from Klaatu last name, whatever. But whatever you want it to say there, that's what you're going to put in personal name. User domain. Okay, so now you're thinking, so the domain is one thing and my personal name is another thing. Where's the rest of it? Like, where's the username? Where's the thing that my email provider has as my login name? Well, that's going to be in a different menu, and it's a little bit of a setup in this different menu that you have to do like a reply to option, and we'll do that in a little while. So basically, the user domain is going to be whoever your provider is, whether it's like gmail.com, for instance. Or like if you're at a company, let's say I work at Hacker Public Radio, right? Maybe they have an IMAP server set up. So it would be personal name, Klaatu, user domain, hackerpublicradio.org. SMTP server, again, I'm gonna say that this is an IMAP setup because that's more complicated than POP. If this is POP, if you've ever set up an email client before, you just do the same thing. It's really, really simple. SMTP-server, let's just say it is relay.hackerpublicradio.com. The inbox path, you can leave that, you can't leave that as the default for IMAP, actually. You have to change that. So what that's going to be, and again, this always depends on how the system admin of this company would have it set up, but I'll do an example. So inbox path, you can hit enter and it'll take you into that field. And you can type in, for instance, curly bracket, let's say mail.hackerpublicradio.org/user equals So that's the word user, U-S-E-R, equals, and then your actual username that you're going to use to sign into the email account. So if my username was actually, let's say, not Klaatu, then I would need to put that in there, right? So my personal name that I want people to see, that can be anything I want. It can be Klaatu, it can be hacker public radio host, it could be anything. But the username needs to be what you sign in for. Like if you were going to go to the web-based interface or something like that, that's going to be your username. So that's going to be very specific. That's the account that you have with that Gmail, that email provider. So user equals, let's say, not Klaatu, and then slash. Now, if they're doing SSL and stuff like that, and you don't have the key files that you need for this to all happen very smoothly, you will need to put no validate dash cert. No validate dash cert. And then you can close the curly brackets and then type in inbox. And I did it all in caps and it works. So that is basically telling Pine or Alpine that your inbox does not exist on your computer. It exists on the server. You've got a lot of different folders that you can set up. You've got incoming archive folders. You've got pruned folders. You've got a default FCC, which is file carbon copy, which is sort of your sent folder, basically. So you can do that. Again, curly bracket, mail.hackerpublicradio.org, slash user equals not Klaatu, slash. And again, if there's SSL stuff going on here, because I don't have the SSL files that I need for it to happen automatically, I had to put slash TLS, that's Tango, L's and loser, S's and setup, slash no validate dash cert, and then close curly bracket, and then the word sent. And again, I used a capital S, lowercase ENT, I don't know if it matters, but it certainly works. And you've got saved message folders and things like that. You've got a literal signature file, which is where you can hit return there, and you can put some text. There's also, if you opt out of that, you can have a signature file that it will attach to your email as well. So, lots of different options here. One of the cool options, I could obviously go through every single option on here. It would be a lot better if you just kind of scroll through. Like I say, this configuration setup is really, really long. But one of the cool options is you can enable an alternate editor. So if you don't want to necessarily just type your emails in the little interface that Pine provides you, which is kind of, I would say, I think it actually is Pico. So if you've ever used Pico, it'll be very familiar to you. Because I think Pico and Pine are made by the same people, or same university or something. But you could enable, Vim or Emacs or something like that. Now, in order for that to happen automatically, you will need to go down to enable-alternate-editor-implicitly and hit X, and that marks that on. And then you can keep going down the list until you find a field called editor, and then you can tell it what editor you want to use when you're down in the actual body of the email. And you can set that. You need to set the full path, so you can't just type in Vim or Emacs. You have to do, /bin/user/bin/Emacs or whatever you're going to use. And the point is that you can do all this, and it'll be great, and you can just go crazy with the options. I would advise not doing anything too crazy at first, because you just want to kind of make sure that you get it up and running, So don't start out with a whole bunch of variables so that you don't know if the error is with you, how you set it up, or, if it's just an error because you did some weird option in all these setups. So I would keep it simple first. Once you're finished, you can hit E as in exit, and it should ask you if you want to save your settings. And after you hit E and yes, you save, Y for yes, you're back at the main menu. All right, we would almost be ready to go right now. In fact, we are. I mean, technically speaking, you can hit compose, C for compose. You can compose a message, and it will, as long as you've got access to that server that you entered in, you will be asked possibly for your password, and then it will send your message. Now, I actually advise doing that thing right now because it's helpful to see, it's really interesting to see where it comes from. So I did that and I sent it to one of my email addresses and looked at the, you know, the reply to and the from. And it's basically what it does by default is it takes the username of just your normal login name. So if your Linux login name is John, but your, you know, the email identity that you have is Klaatu, then suddenly your emails are going out from like John at whatever your computer's name is. So if you've even bothered setting up your domain and your domain name of your computer for your internal network, you know, if you've got like darkstar.com, then your email is going to be showing up as John at, you know, from John at darkstar.com. That is probably not correct. So if someone says reply, sends you a message back, chances are they are not going to reach you. So what you need to do is go in and set up a rule. And this rule will tell Pine or Alpine to, instead of using the system default, to substitute the name in for something else. Now the exception here would be if your username happens to be your real username for your email client, for your email service, and it's the same as your login name, and it's the same as the actual address of your email. If you're just really consistent and you use, you know, the same name for everything, then honestly you might be ready to go. But otherwise, if you haven't set, you know, explicitly the place that this is being sent from, then it's going to take just the system defaults. And actually, you know what? It might not take the domain name of your computer because we set the domain name in the setup. So actually, it'll just be using your Linux, you know, login username. Point is, it's not going to get back to you. So what you need to do is you go to setup again. So that's S, and then you go to rules R, and then you go to roles, which is R again. So it's rules and then roles. There will be a blank screen because you don't have any roles set up yet, and so that you can then say that you want to add a role. And that is the A for add. And once again, you're greeted with a really, really long list of options. Luckily, there's only about, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 fields that we actually have to touch here. The first thing that we should do is give it a nickname. This role, we should give like a name to it. So you can say, okay, the nickname is going to be, you know, reply to. And then you can also give it a comment. So go down to comment, which is the next line, and hit return, and then it'll get you a screen, and you can just explain to yourself, you know, why this exists, so that if you're sorting through these things later on, you have some idea of why it's here, what function it's serving. So then what you can do is the current folder type, I think by default email will be selected, which you could do, but I think it's just easier to mark any, because any, that way if you happen to be doing, you know, using Pine for news groups or something like that, then when you send something to a news group, it'll also give your correct, you know, contact information. So I put any. The next option really isn't until it's pretty far down. Let me find it. It's initialize settings using role, and that's not that far down. So you want to initialize settings using role set from. See, you're just setting the from field, and then you can say, okay, so my name is Klaatu, and the actual email is notklaatu@hackerpublicradio.org. You can set the reply to. I found that this was not necessary. By default, from what I can tell, everything's when you hit reply, it replies to the from. So I didn't really bother setting that. But if you're finding, you know, if something goes wrong, that would be somewhere to start. Now the uses of this rule are next. and that's not very far down at all. That's like one section down. It says reply using. You want to just have it reply using that without confirmation. You want to use the forwarding without confirmation, and you want to compose without confirmation. So this is a rule that is just always going to happen. This is basically practically a system preference at this point for your user environment. Once you're finished setting all that up, you hit E again for exit setup. It should again confirm that you want to save it and everything. You do. And then you can exit the setup menu and you're back in the main menu. So that's E and then E again. And now you're back in the main menu and you will see that you've got, like I say, you've got an address book and you've got C to compose. An email. You also have I for your message index. Now, I for message index will just take you to a listing of inbox, sent mail, saved messages, things like that. So that's just, you know, your normal tree of folders that you would expect. You can go into any of those and they should show you everything on the IMAP server. Pretty much as simple as that. The options are down at the bottom. Like I say, if you've ever used Pico, you're going to find Pine really pretty familiar. It's got the same little style to it. You know, the options down at the bottom, just really easy to understand. And as you can tell from this tutorial already, I think it's really easy to set up. It's a question of going to configuration menus and looking through the options that you know would matter from your experience of setting up a email client in the past. Now, the address book is pretty nice. You can just go down to that if you want, or hit A for address book. And this is a list of people and their email addresses and stuff like that. You can put that in. The only way I really know how to do it is by hand. There might be a way to import this from something else. I'm really not sure. I just don't have that many people on the system that I'm using this for that I really need to have in an address book. So I did that by hand. But the cool thing about Alpine, like I say, is once you're finished that, let me exit my address book. And once you're done with that, you can hit C for compose. And then you'll see that it prefaces it with a from field, which should be already filled in for you using the rule that you've defined. And then there's the to field, and you can put in whatever you want. So we'll put in a test email at, you know, whatever.com. You can CC it. You can add an attachment. Type in the subject field, subject, and then you go down one, and it takes you straight into your editor, and that's pretty nice. And I'm back, and I see my message. My signature file, or my signature, appears at the bottom, just as expected. So now I'm going to send it, right? So it's Control-X to send, and then it says, are you sure you want to send that? And you say yes, and it sends. And it's as simple as that. If you want to cancel, you can do Control-C, and then C again for confirm. And then it will send that email. And it really is that easy. And someone will get it in their inbox. They will see it. They will reply to it. And when you go to message index, that is I from the main menu, you will see their email in your big list of emails. And there are little letter codes by each email, you know, telling you if it's a new message or if it's a little bit old, things like that. So that's really it. That's Pine. Just to reiterate, the server type is obviously going to matter a lot, and it's going to matter a lot on who's setting this up, and you know the names of the servers and the username and things like that. So you might have to do a little bit of investigation to find out, you know, is this mail.example.com, or is this imap.example.com, or is it something entirely different? You know, so figure that out before you set about this. It's going to be easier to go in with that kind of information. You know, you're not doing anything weird here. You're allowed to ask your IT person, like if you're in a company or something, for that information. That's normal stuff for them to tell you, so don't hesitate to ask for that kind of information. And remember to use your real username. Me at work, I have a username that I used to get into the, you know, like the web interface and things like that, but then I had the IT guys set up an alias for me. And I was, for a little while I was setting up my Alpine, I was putting in my, you know, the alias name, forgetting that that was not actually my username, and obviously that did not work. So use your username. You'll be prompted for a password when you first launch Alpine, usually. And then from then on, you'll be in, and you'll be good to go. So that is how to use Alpine and use it with IMAP. Like I say, you can use pop stuff as well. It's just, you know, instead of filling in IMAP stuff, it's pop.example.com usually. And again, you'll have to figure out what your server actually has you doing. It could be anything in theory, but it's pretty much just like any other email client. It's all there in the setup config menu. Type that stuff in, send email, receive email, delete it, store it, live your life digitally online. It's really cool. So have fun with it. Thanks for listening to Hacker Republic Radio. This has been Klaatu, and it's been my pleasure talking to you about Alpine and IMAP. Good day.
Thank you for listening to Hacker Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.